And now, please remain standing for the reading of God's word that comes from Acts chapter 8, verse 26 to 27. Now, an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian. This is the word of God for the people of God. You may be seated. Have you ever had a burning question with which you really struggled? Maybe it's something that kept you up at night. Maybe something that you just couldn't figure out. Or maybe it was something that you all knew too well. I had a time like that in my life. I went to Texas Tech. How about them Red Raiders, by the way, huh? Had to get that in there somewhere, you know. But while I was at Texas Tech, I was earning a business degree, and I felt called to the ministry. I was so excited about following the Lord and lifting that burden, because I was finally going to follow what I felt like was God's calling for me. So I declared to my minister, said, "You know, I really feel called to ministry." He said, "Talk to the Northwest Texas Annual Conference." So I talked to my mentors there, and they said, "You should go to seminary." And so I loaded up my car, and I drove to Asbury Seminary in Wilmore, Kentucky. And as I pulled in and unloaded all my stuff, I met new people, started getting community, reading God's word, learning about theologians. It was a wonderful time for me. But after about a year and a half, I started getting into a desert spell. I was struggling, thinking, what do I believe? I understand what the church believes. I understand what theologians believe and my parents, my family of origin. But what do I believe? And I was wrestling. And so I asked my professor, Dr. Joe Donjell, said, "Would you have a couple minutes? I have a couple questions." And Joe Donjell said, "In our church, we not only tolerate questions, we celebrate questions. Yes, I would love to meet with you. Come to my office at a certain time." And so I went to his office, and I sat down, and I started to ask questions. And he started to answer them. And then I started poking at his answers, dissecting them one by one. And he started answering those questions. And then he got a call on his rotary phone. He picked it up, and I thought, you know, it'd be like, just in time, oh, gotta go, thank you so much, bye-bye. Instead, he said, "Hello." It was his wife on the other line. "Hey, Joe, we need to do this and this and this." And he said, "Pardon me for interrupting, but I'm with a very important person right now. Can I call you back when we're done? Thank you, love you, bye-bye." Hung up the phone. So we continued our conversation. As questions and answers ensued, as aha moments and epiphanies came, and then about 30 minutes later, another phone call came. It was his wife again. "Joe, where are you?" "I'm sorry, I'm with a very important person right now. Can I call you when we're done? Thank you, love you, bye-bye." We questioned more and more, talked and dialogued, and again his wife called. It was then that I felt like a king. I felt so important. I felt like he was listening to me, that I was the only one, and he was the only one that was willing to listen. That conversation, I don't know what happened with his wife afterwards. I'm probably not her very favorite person. But that meeting changed my life. For the next year and a half of seminary, it really helped me understand more of who I was, who God was, and what God called me to. And even to this day, I still remember that one meeting. In our scriptures this morning, this is the introduction to Philip's story with the Ethiopian eunuch. God called Philip out of Samaria into the desert road, out in the middle of nowhere. Could you imagine? I mean, Sometimes we're called to the desert. Sometimes we go to dry places and we have no idea why. But God, sometimes it's a much bigger picture than we can even fathom. And yet God calls us to simply be faithful with which the area that he calls us to. So Philip was faithful. He was called to the desert and he went. But this, my friends, was a divine appointment. For as he went into the desert, he encountered this chariot with an Ethiopian eunuch inside. Now, scholars debate, what exactly was the Ethiopian eunuch? Some people believe that it was an emasculated male, and because of that, this emasculated person was in service of the queen. And the king didn't want any competition, so that's why he was in service for the queen. Others believe that eunuch meant like a government title for an oriental kingdom. So there's a little bit of debate there, but we know that he was an Ethiopian. So whatever his title was, he was an Ethiopian, and he was in this chariot, and was coming back from Jerusalem. He had worshipped in Jerusalem. We know that he was a foreigner, and so he probably wasn't welcomed in the synagogue. He probably was excluded to worship with the people of God there. And yet, he had the scrolls. He had the copy of Isaiah. They just don't give those out. He was someone of significance, someone important to receive that scroll. And so he's reading out loud. And Philip hears him reading it. And in ancient days, like Miss Mary said, by the way, today is her birthday. Mary, happy birthday. There you go. He was reading those scriptures out loud because they would often say them out loud and read them out loud so that they could hear how they were pronounced. And the others around them that couldn't read could hear them as well. So the eunuch is reading this scripture, and Philip hears it and he runs by him. He says, do you understand what you're reading? And the Ethiopian says, come on, sit with me in my chariot. Let's talk about it. Let's just share. And so the Ethiopian shares what scripture he's reading. He's reading from Isaiah, and he's talking about this suffering servant. It's like the sheep that was led to the slaughter. And he said, well, what exactly does this mean? Is he talking about a prophet? Is he talking about someone? What's he talking about? And it's here where Philip gets to share the good news of the gospel. And I think it really is captured in John 3:16. You know it. We've heard it. We probably saw it during March Madness with a little sign with someone wearing a big old wig. John 3:16, please say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, to you and I, we've probably heard that a lot. But even to this day, a third of the world see that as heresy. That the God of the ages, the God of the galaxies, would come and be a human and be subject to humans, and not only that, but be humiliated and die. Even just verbalizing such things could cause you to go to jail in some parts of the world. And so the Ethiopian was struggling. What does this scripture mean? So I wonder how Philip explained it to him. Maybe he said, we owed a debt that we couldn't pay. And Christ paid a debt that he didn't know. That he was the substitute for us on the cross. Because he suffered and died and yet rose again. We have that freedom. And that is the good news of the gospel. This Messiah came to wash our feet, to seek the lost, to save and to suffer. For you and for me. I wonder what he said. Whatever Philip said, he started with that very scripture. Isn't it beautiful how God starts wherever we are, whatever age, whatever nationality, whatever education level, whatever, wherever, however. God begins right where we're at, and God meets us with God's grace right at exactly that the right time. But the scriptures cause us to do something. As Philip shares with him the scriptures about the good news of the gospel, the Ethiopian in the chariot riding all of a sudden looks at some water and says, "Hey, there's some water. Can I be baptized since I want to accept Christ as my Lord and Savior?" Philip says, "Sure, why not?" Last Sunday, I had the privilege of teaching our confirmation class during Sunday school. And we talked about baptism. In the Methodist Church, we have two forms of baptism. We have infant baptism and believer's baptism. In infant baptism, parents present their children, or those who represent their children come and we baptize their children in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And this is God's prevenient grace on us. And so the whole church and the parents have a gift to this child. And then, during confirmation, they have a chance to accept Christ as their own Lord and Savior and say it outwardly, what God does in their hearts. So we have infant baptism, but we also have believer's baptism. That when you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you follow through with baptism. Baptism doesn't save us, but it's an outward sign of that inward grace, what Christ does for us. And so, because of that, this Ethiopian wanted to be baptized. And Philip baptized him right then. And as he baptized him, Philip was taken away. And the Ethiopian rose to new life. And he went back to Ethiopia. Today, we know that he was a missionary back to Ethiopia. And it was through him that the gospel spread to his friends, to his family, to the people. And his legacy still lives. Because in Jerusalem, at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, where it's venerated as the place where Jesus Christ died and rose again, there are predominantly three churches that have ownership there. The Roman Catholic Church, the Greek Orthodox Church, and the Ethiopian Orthodox Church. That one person, one conversation changed the trajectory of a whole continent, a whole people, and today still lives on. We know the power of one. One point we've seen in March Madness. Boy, we know the power of one point, don't we? In ball games, close calls, the scripture talks about one. The woman had 10 coins, and one was lost. She searched the whole house to find that one. The shepherd, 99 sheep, forsook them to find that one that had wandered off. Did everything he could for that one sheep. The father had a beautiful family, two boys. One went wayward, and he welcomed that one back. The kingdom of heaven is described as someone who finds that one pearl of great price and will sell everything they have to get that one pearl. And it's worth it all. Mary and Martha invited Jesus to their house. Martha's busy cleaning, getting everything ready. Mary just sits at Jesus' feet. And Martha says, "Jesus, tell Mary to help me clean." And Jesus says, "Martha, Martha, you're so busy and worried about so many things. Only one thing is needed." Do you have that one thing? You know, we can have all kinds of things, but really, only one thing is needed, the power of one. When I was in high school, I felt like I didn't have that one thing. I was struggling. I was in one of those desert places, and a youth minister named Rob Boyd came to my house, and we sat and had a little meeting. I was going through one of those desert times, dry spell. And he came and shared with me that good news. It was like my whole life was changed. Grace flooded in. And I realized how much I needed Christ as my Lord and Savior. And I began a relationship with God. Yeah, I'd always been in the church, grown up in the church, knew all about it, been baptized. But it was then the first time that I really said, you know, I want to accept Christ. That one conversation can change everything. Perhaps it was a divine appointment. I'm not sure where you're at today. Maybe you have accepted Christ, your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've had the divine appointment. Maybe at this time around and around and around again, you're saying, okay, God, what's next? I would encourage you to look for one person, one situation, one area where you can make a difference, where God can change you to change them. It might be in the big city. It might be on the desert road. I'm not sure where God's called you to. But if we're faithful, God will show us where God wants us to invest in and make a difference. One of the stories that really blessed me when I first started getting into the ministry was a story about a young couple who went on their honeymoon. And they were so happy to wake up on the beach and see the beautiful water. But at this particular beach, at night, the tide would bring in a whole bunch of starfish. And then the tide would leave. You know, the water would go out in the morning. And all the starfish would be left on the beach. And the beach turned into a desert because those starfish would die. And you'd walk out on the beach and you would see thousands, if not tens of thousands, if not millions of starfish that have died because they washed up on shore when the tide came in. And then when it went out, they were left there. And so this couple, early morning, got up and was walking. They saw all the starfish. And they saw this old man, kind of the waves, picking something up and throwing it in the ocean. And as they started walking closer and closer, they saw that he was picking up starfish and throwing it in the ocean. Well, they looked at each other, perplexed. This guy is crazy. What's he doing? And they asked the old man, they said, what are you doing? He said, don't you know? If I don't pick up these starfish and throw them back in the ocean, they're going to die. The couple said, well, there are thousands, if not 10,000, if not millions of starfish here. What difference can you make? And he picked up a starfish, looked at them and said, make a difference to this one. And he threw in the ocean. My friends, that's the power of one. That one relationship that Jesus Christ offers us through his grace, we can offer it to those around us. May we have the power of one to make a difference now and forever. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for that good news that even people like us are welcome into your presence. Even if we were the only ones on the face of the earth, Lord, you still would have died and rose again. That your love is so intoxicating, so powerful, so blessed. Lord, that you sent your son, died and rose again. We praise you for that promise, for the gospel, for us. Lord, may we be aware of your calling, of your yearning for us, of where you are sending us. And Lord, may we have the power, Lord, to bless other people one at a time. For we know that we might not be able to change the world. But Lord, through you, Lord, we can be your vessel to maybe help one person make a difference in their life by simply being faithful to you. Lord, may we not only tolerate questions, may we celebrate them. Because we know that They'll help us grow deeper, have a more abiding faith in you. And Lord, may we be able to have that freedom to really search you, because we know that when we ask, we'll find. When we seek, we'll know. And Lord, we know that you will be there for us. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.